This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
No sleep till!
Misfits and siblings and the flunkies and the junkies, all of our fans all over the world. Welcome to this week's episode of the PTB Weekend Special here on the PTB Weekend, the PTB Weekend Network, on the PTB Wrestling Network. I am Scott Criscolo. It is Sunday of Selection Sunday. Later today, 68 teams will compete. Or will be announced to compete for the national championship in college basketball. A lot of upsets this weekend. So a lot of bubble teams probably got burst because teams like North Carolina and Houston lost. Although, so they were going to be number one seeds. They may be number one seeds without larges. That doesn't happen very often. Anyway, bring in my compadre, the doctor, Dr. G. George Bellino, who doesn't give a shit about the tournament unless he's winning money. So
exactly. And I ain't gonna be winning no money the way these games are going.
Who cares? Yeah, no, it's kind of a mess. North Carolina State won the ACC tournament. Iowa State won the Big 12 tournament. UConn won the Big East tournament. That was no shock. The big as we're recording, the Big 10 final has not happened yet. And so later today, later today when the 68 teams are announced, we're going to see some messy things. So, speaking of messy, let's talk NWA and TNA. We are one for NWA. I think we're getting close to starting to watch some of the taping episodes. Maybe that starts this coming Tuesday. We had one more taping from the studios in Tampa from back in January.
The power station.
I don't know why they didn't do that. I just lost my thought. Why didn't they do that like in 2019? Why didn't they call it the power station like back then? That would have been pretty cool. Should have called it the power station.
Some hick that just sat around the table saying, "Wow, we should just call it the power station." I don't know.
Or maybe they should call it the power station. Anyway, sure. We do have an episode we'll talk about. It was actually kind of a fun episode. They did some very unusual things this week. I think they're kind of expanding their creative juices in terms of the television. And then we will talk Impact as we are the first episode of Impact out of Sacrifice. And we already have our main event for the pay-per-view in April, Rebellion, which will be on Saturday night, April 20th, from Vegas. That's a big weekend for wrestling because the next night, April 21st, is AEW Dynasty, which is actually a pretty cool pay-per-view name. I think it's a pretty cool name. So this past Tuesday in Tampa, we had a United States Tag Team title match. This was actually a ton of fun. Your tag team champions, of course, your U.S. tag team champions, the Immortals, the team of Kratos, or as Aaron Stevens used to call him, Kratos. And Odinson went to a double DQ with Daisy Kill and Talos. And they actually, Aaron Stevens was actually managing them, which is kind of weird. It was a fun little battle. And they actually ended up brawling into the, backstage area. And Kratos started beating the crap out of Aaron Stevens until he was attacked by, of course, Aaron Stevens' prime team, the World Tag Team Champions, Blunt Force Trauma. And then they walked off, and then Kratos got into a jawjack with Daisy Kill and Talos, and they just walked off. So Even though they're the U.S. Tag Team Champions, Dr. G, it looks like the Immortals may be starting a feud with the World Tag Team Champions of Blunt Force Trauma, who I got to be honest, I did not think would hold the belts this long. I thought a babyface team would have beaten them by now. They, of course, won the belts back in August at NWA 75. I thought they would have won the belts by now or lost the belts by now to somebody. But they're still the World Tag Team Champions.
Yep.
But seems to be starting a feud with the other title holders, the Immortals, who are the United States Tag Team Champions. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's the way the old NWA used to do it. The U.S. champs were, you know, usually the number one contenders. So,
right.
You know, with Billy, I noticed because, you know, the tapings are spread out, you don't really see championships change, you know, very quickly. When you win the championship, usually you keep the championship
right
for a while.
Yep.
How do you feel about that? Do you like that? Do you feel it legitimizes the title reign of the champion?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's very, I mean, listen, we did love the Attitude Era in WWE and obviously the Monday Night Wars in WCW, but one thing, the titles used to get thrown around like basketballs. I mean, 2000 alone, or maybe it was 99 or 2000, that the world title changed hands like 11 times, which is ludicrous for a world championship. Meanwhile, you go through, you know, the Crockett years in 84, 85, 86, Flair would be world heavyweight champion for like 19 months or something. The other belts may bounce around a little bit, but listen, I'm watching one of my chrono watches. I'm in like the fall, entering the winter of 1988. I'm coming up on Survivor Series and Starcade. And in the fall of 88, Flair is the world champion, and he's held it since Starcade the previous year, Starcade 87, when he beat Ronnie Garvin in the cage. Barry Windham is the U.S. champion. He's been champion since May. Again, I'm in November. That was right after he turned heel and joined the Horsemen. Now there's no Horsemen because Arn and Tully are in WWF. Mike Rotunda is the television champion, and he's had the belt since late January. And again, we're in November. So he's had the TV title for almost 11 months. The world tag titles have kind of bounced around because Arn and Tully left. The Midnight Express beat them. And the Midnight Express were the U.S. Tag Team Champions, and they vacated them. And then literally, like, I don't know, 3 weeks later, they dropped the belts to the Road Warriors, who were heels, actually, which was kind of funny. So Crockett rarely dumped championships back and forth. WWF was even crazier because, obviously, you had, you know, at this point in 88, Savage has been champion, world champion since WrestleMania. The Ultimate Warrior just won the Intercontinental title from the Honky Tonk Man at SummerSlam, but Honky had the belt since the previous June. So he had the belt, you know, of course he had the record, which has since been broken by Gunta. Excuse me. Demolition has been tag team champion since WrestleMania. And the only other belt, if it matters at this point, the women's title, Rock and Robbins held it for, I don't know, a month and a half or something. So my point is, the titles back then were totally kept to the vest and not bounced around a lot. Then you move on to the Attitude Era, and that was crazy. It would be nothing but a title would change hands every 5 weeks because when you're competing, you needed shock moments. So between 1999, between when Austin won the belt in 1990 at WrestleMania 14, and when, say, he won the belt at WrestleMania 17, 3 years later, I think the world title changed hands like 22 times or some shit. It was crazy.
Yeah, that was too much.
Yeah, so I have no problem with championship stability in NWA. Are they the best champions? I mean, EC3 is better than Tyrus, that's for sure. I am surprised that Tom Latimer is not a world champion yet. Tom Latimer is an interesting case here because, you know, his wife's gone. She's going to go somewhere soon. So Camille is not in NWA anymore. I'd like to see her in TNA, to be honest, but something tells me she's going to go to AEW. But we'll see. So I'm okay with kind of slow burns. Again, though, Doctor, if we're not going to get pay-per-views anymore, then what are we doing? Title matches at these tapings? Like, that's my confusion. Are we at least?
Well, I don't know what the model is right now. I don't know what the contract is.
I don't either.
I mean, it was weird. Before the whole announcement, he was doing so much media. And I mean, I know he's got a lot going on with his music career too, Billy does. But now we don't hear nothing. Like, I don't really know. I mean, that they did put a press release out, but it didn't totally explain what the new model is. Mm-hmm. So there must be some money in this transaction because they're not going to make a lot of money. I mean, if they're only getting, I mean, I know that some of the crowds are becoming bigger, but, you know, the gates aren't going to make them that much money.
Mm.
So there has to be some kind of money involved with right. being on the app.
Yeah. I'm assuming so. The set looks nicer, but we had a Ruthie J and what was her name? Ashley Nieve, the queen there. They had a back and forth promo. We had a fun little singles match. Missa Kate, who I think is kind of leaning a little heelish. She defeated Taylor Rising in 6.5 minutes. That was actually a fun match. I like Missa Kate. I always did. Now I think she's kind of working a little heelish, which is pretty good. Anthony Andrews, who we've really been has now broken off. He's a heel. He's working with, he's with Austin Idol. Defeated Casey Kazana, the kid of Joe Kazana, in 501. Let me ask you this, Doctor. Have you ever heard of this family before we started watching the new NWA, the Kazanas? Because they make them sound like they're legends in the wrestling business, and I've never heard of them.
Maybe they are on their local level if he has run the promotion for a while, but I never heard. I'm going to be honest.
I never have either, but I mean, I like Joe and I like his son, but Anthony Andrews is a good heel. So, I think that's a little good balance there.
And are they like the Great Value Armstrong family kind of thing?
No, maybe. Great Value Armstrong. And the Armstrongs are Great Value, what, Rhodes? And in the main event, a six-man, or a six-woman, I guess, tag team match. Pretty Empowered. So Ella Envy, the women's world champion, Kenzie Page, and her sister, Kylie, defeated Natalia Markova and the women's tag team champions, the King Bees, in 6:20. That seems like a very consistent storyline because that title change just happened. I'm still perplexed that Natalia Markova is not women's world champion. I'm totally stunned. I can't believe she's not world champion yet.
I think she will be, though.
I figure at this point, she would have been a world champion. I'm really, really baffled that she wasn't. And still is not. So there's your episode of Power. Decent matches. I have a feeling we're going to start watching the Hard Times tapings this coming week. I'm trying to see, I'm trying to cheat here.
Now, do you think he did a lot of these tapings and he's spreading things out because Billy is I think he is starting a tour which I think the NWA will probably be at some of the shows.
Right.
Who did I see he was doing a tour with? Somebody pretty big. I don't remember.
Oh, Green Day?
Green Day. It's Green Day.
I think it's Green Day, yeah.
So I think he's going to have some of that going on. But I think, you know, when you're trying to manage two careers, I mean, I know Jericho does it a little bit too, you know, but he's not running a company. You know, it's a lot of work. And I don't, you know, Billy likes to be involved in the day-to-day. I don't know. I know Galley helps out running the company.
Right.
So
I found on Cage Match, I found the Ha Tams card, and it's really only the three matches that we all knew. La Rosa Negra and Ruthie J against Rika Taheka and Tiffany Nieves. My apologies, Tiffany, not Ashley. Tiffany Nieves. The Southern Six, Alex Taylor and Kerry Morton, were taking on Knox and Murdoch in a tag team cage match. And then Kenzie Page was well, that match hasn't happened yet, I guess. Well, it has happened. We just don't know what happened. But Kenzie Page did defend the women's world title against Natalia Markova. So we haven't had there hasn't been any results of that yet. As a matter of fact, I think it's funny. The NWA already has Looks That Kill on their schedule. And that, of course, is not till December 14th. It's pretty funny. Oh, Exodus Pro When in Rome. That's coming up. When did that happen? Last night? Yes, last night. They had that Exodus Pro Wrestling show. We don't have results of that yet at the Tree Lawn in Cleveland. There was the Julius Caesar Memorial Toga Battle Royal. What the fuck promotion is this? A bunch of guys wrestling in togas? Really? Lovely. Another singles match, Man Bun Jesus. Isn't that the name you leave at hotels? Man Bun Jesus? Taking on Stacy Stevens with Aaron Stevens. I don't know if that's, I don't know if they're sister or brother, or I don't know what the deal is. For the MPW title, Tiffany Nieves, who is the champion, taking on Zoe Sky. In a pair of Exodus Pro Midwest title tournament semifinals, Sam Beal against Cal Harrow. And Facade against Dante Casanova. That's my name at hotels. Your name
Dante
is Man Bun
Casanova.
Your name is Man Bun Jesus. My name is Dante Casanova. And EC3 was taken on Ashton Day in a non-title match. So that was last night between NWA and Exodus Pro, and it was called When in Rome. And that was at the Tree Lawn in Cleveland. So, we haven't gotten any matches for that yet, or any results. It is.
Speaking of the Southern Six, I'm sure many have seen online that Thrillbilly Silas Mason, his house caught on fire.
Yes, I was going to ask you to bring that. I was going to ask you to talk about that because you know a little bit more about that than I do.
And it looks like they did a GoFundMe for him. And I think it, you know, went past the goal. I think they had a goal of $10,000, and it went past that. But wow, I mean, that everybody's okay. That's the main thing. Supposedly, there was another wrestler that also lived with him. I think he had a girlfriend too, but I think there's another wrestler, and I don't remember the name of the guy who lived with him. But not really nice, good stuff going on there. I mean, you saw this fire. It's like, woof, on the pictures of it.
Yeah.
They had a $10,000 goal. Kerry Morton actually put it out. He's very close, obviously. Not only just on the, you know, as part of on screen, he's also friends with him in, you know, real life. And put this on. And 228 donations raised, $15,633. So hopefully that helps him get on his feet. You know, people see, oh, this guy's on TV or whatever, but, you know, he basically, for all intents and purposes, is an indie wrestler, so, you know, and yep. I don't care, even, you know, unless you're, you know, a millionaire, you lose everything that you have in your house. I mean, I don't care, you know, what kind of money you're making, you got to restart your whole life over again.
Yeah, in essence.
But one of the donations I saw on there was from Scott D'Amore. Which was $1,500. He actually might have been the donation that was the most.
Good. Well, that is pretty great. That is pretty great. And
it is.
You know, and that's a shame that stuff like that happens. I feel like that's happened a lot lately. Guys' houses catch fire. You know, that's crazy.
Fires. Scott D'Amore, Matt Cardona gave $500. I mean, not that I'm not trying to, you know, whatever anybody could do. I mean, it's a nice thing that people could help
right.
out.
Right.
You know, someone in need. And, you know, for whatever you want to say about his character and all that stuff, you know, these are people that are, you know, trying to make a living, trying to live life. And thank God nobody got hurt. That's the main thing. So I thought that was pretty interesting. The NWA did share it as well. So, you know, wishing good wishes on Silas Mason and his family.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, he'll be able to get on his feet really quick and be back entertaining us.
I agree with you. I agree.
Well, obviously there's stuff in the can, so we'll be seeing him on TV for a little while.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah. Exodus Pro's last show that NWA did with them was called Bad Times on Waterloo. That was back on, that was the night of the Royal Rumble, January 27th. You know, that was matches that were setting up for the Midwest, the Pro Midwest Championship. Dante Casanova won that night. He beat Tino Valentino. In other words, his name is Tino Tino.
Tino Tino.
Tino, Tino.
Tino Square.
There was a tag team called Faith in Nothing. And the team is Ricky Shane Page and Vincent Nothing took on J-Rock and Rex Brody. Sounds like a porn star.
So,
interesting. I'm gonna go to maybe when you and I go to Cleveland later in the year. Dr. G and I are actually going to Cleveland later in the year with a friend to go see Billy Joel. But maybe we'll find this tree something arena. It's probably the size of my apartment, but anyway. So we'll see what happens.
You're coming full of compliments.
I am. Listen, you know what? The NWA is doing the right thing. They're helping out these smaller promotions, and it gives us something to watch. So I am completely fine with that. It's all good for me. I can't even say when the next pay-per-view is because we don't know. But we'll keep an eye on things. And we'll see this coming Tuesday, a new episode of Power, if it's still from Tampa that they shot back in January, or if we'll start seeing some hard times matches this Tuesday. We'll have to take a look. Impact, of course, was coming off their Sacrifice show. And they had an episode of Impact from Windsor, Ontario. I think the next day they did tapings. We watched Sacrifice. Pretty good show. Of course, if you want to check out our results and, shall we say, opinions and reactions, check out our reaction special from last week. This past Monday, we did a reaction special. So, this week, they were in Windsor, Ontario. And we started seeing some, I don't want to say hints of heel turns, but Alex Shelley was slowly starting to work a little heelish and becoming ambivalent towards the six-man tag at Sacrifice. The MK Ultra was kind of splitting up. They lost the tag title, the Knockouts tag team titles to Spitfire, Danny Luna, and Jody Threat. So, we had an X Division title match this past week. Mustafa Ali, successfully defended against Chris Sabin in his rematch. Alex Shelley, a little involved there. I have a feeling we may see a Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley feud down the line, which would be, I mean, that they'll burn the place down for those matches. Josh Alexander defeated Oleg Prudis, of course, in 53 seconds. Of course, he is the former Vladimir Kozlov. Frankie Kay defeated Ace Austin. Of course, Frankie Kazarian cost Eric Young the TNA world title at Sacrifice. He interfered at the end and helped Moose win. Speaking of heel turns, Eric Swan turned heel. He helped AJ Francis defeat Joe Hendry, which was needed because I think Rich Swan was getting a little stale. Spitfire, as I mentioned, your knockout women's tag team champions, Danny Luna and Jody Threat, defeated Bea Moss and Vanna Black. Really? Vanna Black? That's funny. Non-title match. And in the main event, a banging six-man. I would watch this again. It was a great match. Nick Nemeth and Speedball Mountain, the team of Mike Bailey and Trent Seven, defeated the Rascals, Trey Miguel and Zach Wentz, and Steve Macklin in 14-14. It was a great match. So check out the episode of Impact. I watch it on YouTube for $1. You can also watch it on TNA Plus, of course, as well. As mentioned, TNA's next big show coming up is Rebellion. And that'll be on Saturday night, April 20th, from the Palms. Two matches are set. Speedball Mountain is getting a tag team title shot, kind of excited. They're taking on The System, Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers, who, of course, won the tag team titles from ABC this past Sacrifice. And it didn't take long. I guess it took, what, 3 months? But Nick Nemeth is getting a TNA world title shot. He will be facing Moose at Rebellion for the TNA world title. We'll talk about this, Dr. G, over the next few weeks as we get closer to...
You like Moose's champ?
I do like Moose's champ. He's a good power guy. Decent promo, but a good power guy. And I think he works good in the ring. I thought him and Eric Young had a much better match than I thought they would. Steve Willey, when we did the preview, was very pessimistic that it was going to be a good match. And it was solid. It was a solid power match. I think The System is going to have to keep up with Speedball Mountain because they're both amazing. So I think they're going to have to... get on the ball, no pun intended, Speedball.
That was bad.
I know, it was terrible. And because, I mean, Eddie Edwards is not the Eddie Edwards he was when he was the American Wolves with Davey Richards. He's obviously gotten older and he's a little, you know, a little bigger. Not fat, but he put on some bulk. And Brian Myers is, you know, he's okay. Your thoughts on Nick Nemeth after... what, 3 months already getting a world title shot? Too soon?
I mean, sometimes when a new person's brought in, it's lately it's right away. So, I mean, at least it's 3 months.
Right.
I mean, I think it would be a nice build-up. Kind of right. Like, I mean, again, maybe it's going a little on, but I hate using this example, but kind of like they did with Cody and WWE, because everybody kind of knew he was eventually going to come in. He was coming in to win the championship. But at least they kind of put hurdles and, you know, made it a little storyline out of it.
Well, he did get hurt. Right. You know, you remember he debuted at WrestleMania 38, which I was there. I like saying that. I was. And then he tore that pec, and then he was out for months, and then he came back at the Rumble, won the Rumble, didn't finish his story last year.
So do you wonder, like, maybe that injury happened actually created the storyline where do you think they might have done it a little quicker?
It's possible. It's definitely possible. But, I mean, if he doesn't win on April 7th, I don't know what the hell to think anymore, to be honest with you. But I think the other example is, and this kind of irks me a little bit because I've been seeing it on you know, socials. Obviously, Mercedes Moné debuted in TNA, in AEW this past Wednesday.
And all these rumors that she's getting $10 million a year and all that. I mean, are people out of their minds?
I think people should just shut up about salaries. That's like everybody's hard on now. Everybody's all into salaries and shit. She's not getting $10 million. No. But here's my thing. Like, I really got pissed. Like, I love Deonna Purrazzo. We all do. And she came in, big hype. She wrestled Toni Storm for the world title at Revolution, lost under shaky circumstances. And has not gotten a rematch. I don't know if she's going to get it at Dynasty. I don't know what matches are set at Dynasty. I think one of them is Will Ospreay against Brian Danielson. Let's see if any official matches. Let's see. Here we go. So Dynasty, of course, is on April 21st in St. Louis. Well, one match is set. Will Ospreay against Brian Danielson, because they're going to get as many matches out of him before his body explodes. And then, of course, the vacant AEW World Tag Team titles, which were vacated when Sting retired. And, of course, our Darby Allin got hurt this past Wednesday, so he would have been able to defend it anyway. So the wild card round was Best Friends and the Callis family is one match. The Infantry defeated House of Black. They're going to take on FTR in the quarters. The Undisputed Kingdom, Mike Bennett and Matt Taven, will take on the Best Friends, Don Callis family winner. The Young Bucks will take on Private Party in one quarterfinal. And then Top Flight, which is Dante and Darius Martin, will take on Ricky Starks and Big Bill, the former tag team champions, in the other quarterfinal. They'll continue the tournament, and the finals of that tournament to crown new tag team champions will be at Dynasty. So, of course, that's the two matches at the moment. Of course, there'll be plenty more. So it didn't matter anyway. I was thinking, oh, man, Darby Allin got screwed. You know, why does he have to vacate his belt? And then he ended up breaking his foot on this past Wednesday in a match against Jay White on Dynamite. Yeah, he broke three toes. It looked, they showed a picture. I've seen the x-ray. It's nasty. And he was going to climb Mount Everest, Darby Allin. Could you imagine? So he now has to postpone that. Nope, he's gonna, he said it on Twitter that he's gonna have to he will have to wait till 2025 to do that. So, but Rebellion will be the day before, and there's two matches as mentioned. Moose defending the world title against Nick Nemeth, and the System will defend the tag team titles against Speedball Mountain. So I'm sure Jordan Grace will defend the world the women's title, maybe against what's that? What's her name? Ash by Elegance. We've got the we'll see if Spitfire will defend the Knockout tag titles. I'm sure that remember, this is a pay-per-view. This is not a this next show is not a TNA Plus event. This is actually a pay-per-view. So it'll probably be $39.99. That's usually their pay-per-views. Which isn't the worst thing in the world. $40 for $40 every 3 months is not the worst in the world.
No.
So not too bad. No, it's not too bad at all. And then you do it, and then there'll be two more months of TNA Plus shows, and then the next pay-per-view will be Slammiversary in July, and then two more, and then Bound for Glory in October. Anyway. So there you go. So that was this week's episode of Impact. Rebellion again on April 20th, that Saturday, and the following day will be AEW Dynasty. And then the weekend after that, Saturday the 27th, I believe, is WWE Backlash from France. The first of, I guess, what will be... Well, technically three shows out of the country. Money in the Bank's in Toronto. That really doesn't count. WrestleMania. They're not calling it WrestleMania Backlash. Thank God. They're just calling it Backlash again. That's in France at the end of April. And then, of course, they have, what is it, Bash at Berlin or whatever the name of the show is at the end of August in Berlin, Germany. And, of course, they did officially announce that SummerSlam will be on Saturday, August 3rd from Cleveland Browns Stadium in Cleveland. You and I will be in Cleveland, not that weekend. We'll be in Cleveland, what? About 6 weeks later, for a little concert, a little music. I'm looking forward to that trip. I've never been to Cleveland, so.
Me too. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I've never been to Cleveland. I do have a Browns jersey. It's Brady Quinn. Kind of embarrassing. I always wanted an Ozzie Newsome one. Anyway, we might check out a Gardindians game. We'll see. We're definitely going to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That'll be great. Anyway, SummerSlam is in Cleveland. Then there is Backlash in France at the end of April, just giving you the WWE schedule. And Money in the Bank weekend. It'll be I think it'll be right before 4th of July again, like it was last year. You know, no problem at all. Is in Toronto. It's in Toronto. And then the end of August, I don't think it's Labor Day weekend. I think it's the weekend before Labor Day weekend, will be the show in Berlin, Germany. I don't know what the actual name of the show is. Maybe I should look. What's the name of the show? It's because it does have a title. Let's see. Could it be right after SummerSlam? So SummerSlam. Right now, Logan Paul is on the poster, which is really crappy. Anyway, it's on April 3rd, and it's from Cleveland Brown Stadium. The last time, Dr. G, do you remember the last time SummerSlam was in Cleveland?
I don't. I don't have that kind of mind like you do.
1996. Was it the Gundarena?
I wouldn't have been able to guess that.
The main event, Shawn Michaels defended the world title against Vader. Stone Cold was on the pre-show. He was on the free-for-all. He beat Yokozuna.
How times have changed.
Isn't that crazy? That, of course, was when Paul Bearer turned heel, and he turned on The Undertaker and joined Mankind in the Boiler Room match. So, I was right. I pulled that out of my ass. Bash at Berlin. That's exactly what it's called. And it will be on August 31st. I don't think that's Labor Day weekend. At the Uber Arena in Berlin, Germany.
The Uber Arena.
Well, it says, now see, that's weird. One part of Wikipedia says it is at Uber Arena, and then it says it's at Mercedes-Benz Arena. Now I'm confused. No, it's technically called Mercedes-Benz Arena in Berlin. I guess it was called Uber Arena. It was called O2 World. That's weird. I don't know. It just said it was called Uber Arena, and then I just click. Gotcha. Okay. Right now it's called Mercedes-Benz Arena. But on March 22nd, which is what? Today's the 16th as we're recording. So next Friday, it will officially be called Uber Arena. AEG Europe, the venue operator, made a long-term deal with Uber. So yes, I was right. So at the moment, it's called the Mercedes-Benz Arena in Berlin, but this coming Friday, the naming rights will go to Uber. So it will be called Uber Arena by the time Bash in Berlin gets there. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, there you go. So WrestleMania in Philly, Backlash, France is... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I said April. It's May 4th. My bad. I thought it was April 27th. My bad. It's the following Saturday. So WrestleMania, 2 days, April 6th and 7th. Backlash France is May 4th at the LDLC Arena in Dessines Chaput, Lyon, Metropolis, France. Then NXT is going to have a show May 26th, Memorial Day weekend, in Savannah, Georgia. And then Money in the Bank will be July 6th at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. NXT, did you hear this? This is kind of badass. It's actually the next night in Toronto. NXT is borrowing another ECW show name, Dr. G.
What are they using?
Heatwave.
Oh, interesting.
Heatwave. Favorite ECW pay-per-view title? I think I got to go with November to Remember. I always like that.
No.
I know what your favorite
November
is.
November to Dismember, isn't it?
It's December to Dismember, and that was only one show, and that was the WWE show, and we don't want to talk about that show. It was November to Remember. You know there was a show that they did once called Headlocks and Hoodies? Do you think they went Headlocks and Hoodies?
Hoodies.
fucking ECW. They're all fucking high or drunk. Anyway, so that's the same weekend as Money in the Bank, the next night. And then SummerSlam, August 3rd in Cleveland, and then Bash in Berlin, August 31st in Berlin. And then after that, we have no idea. Well, we know Survivor Series will be coming up. We don't know what city that is. And then the Royal Rumble. And then rumors are next year's WrestleMania 41, strong rumors that it will be at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. You were in Minneapolis. You weren't impressed. You like that? I just put you on the spot. You were in Minneapolis. You thought it sucked.
I don't know what it is now. I mean, I went in 2019. It was a nice town. You know, again, I was there for a convention, so I didn't really get to see it as fullest, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
We walked out around near the ballpark, you know, Target Field, which was nice. But
yeah, no, I'd like to get to Target. I'm looking forward to going to Progressive Field. I've never been there.
It's just interesting, you know, because they have all the walkways, the skyways, because it gets so cold there in the winter.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Progressive Field in Cleveland. I've never been there. I loved, and I've said this on this show many times, I loved Comerica Park in Detroit. That's a great ballpark. You'd like it. Great ballpark. You and I might be going to Yankee Stadium in the fall. Forget the summer. I don't even want to talk about our two baseball teams. Talk about a pair of migraine enigmas. You and I might be seeing the Irish in the Bronx. Notre Dame is playing Army in the Shamrock Series this year at Yankee Stadium. What are your thoughts on playing football in Yankee Stadium? Do you care? Does it matter to you?
No, I think it's kind of cool.
Well, the last time they played there, Notre Dame wore like pinstripe uniforms, which I thought was just ridiculous.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
They looked stupid. Maybe these will look a little better. Anyway.
Be quiet.
They're not the Notre Dame Yankees. No.
I'll be getting some of those jerseys from our supplier.
Oh, it's from our friends. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We went off the rails, but that's why we have fun here on the PTB Wrestling Network. You have to go off the rails. If you don't go off the rails, what's the point? You know what I mean? Listen, every time Steve Willie and I are on Main Event, we talk about TNT ratings during the Monday Night Wars of, you know, NBA playoff games. So, you know. We have a fun week coming up for you this week. We'll have our usual great shows by Luke Jennings. If you're listening to this on Sunday, yesterday he had an episode, his normal Saturday episode of the Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast. Tomorrow, Monday, new episode of the Monday Night Project. A little change of pace topic-wise. We hope you enjoy it. A little different. There will be a new episode of Through the Looking Glass this coming Wednesday. Obviously, for the third time, for the third year, Dave Hall and I will be doing a WrestleMania themed episode, and I think you'll like our topics. They're very interesting. I think you'll enjoy them. As of right now, I have to check and see. This is as of Sunday. Now that the voting ends tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Sunday, if you're listening to this in the future, the voting's already ended. But of course, as you know, every month on our Place to Be Facebook page, I put up a poll of what three shows, one of the three shows that Greg Diener and I will do for WrestleTrax. Obviously, we're picking one of three WrestleManias. You know, we're recording on 316 day.
We are. The best day. One of the best days of the year. I don't want to say the best day of the year, but one of the best.
You son of a bitch. I'm just waiting. Here we go. So Greg Diener and I voted between three shows. The ballot was for WrestleMania 6, WrestleMania 13, and WrestleMania 18. As of right now, WrestleMania 6 is winning with 42%. 18 is at 35%, and 13 is at 23%. So the ballot will close Monday, and then whichever is winning, that'll be Greg's and my WrestleTrax for March. As mentioned, sticking with the WrestleTrax, which is a great show. We hope you've been enjoying it. Greg and I are going to, for the June show, we are going to let you pick the ballot. Not the show, the ballot. So sometime in May, Greg and I will open up a thread on our Place to Be Facebook group, and we want you, our listeners, to give us ideas on what show you'd like us to do in the month of June. The only two prerequisites are, obviously the show had to take place in the month of June, duh. It could be anything, could be pay-per-view, television, but it's got to be easily accessible. Peacock, TNA Plus, maybe New Japan World, maybe. But any show that took place in history in the month of June. MSG House Show, any kind of house shows, we'll do what we can. So that'll be in May. So we'll open up a thread on our Place to Be Facebook group, and please give us ideas on what you'd like us to put on the ballot for June. We, of course, will do a ballot for April and May. We already have some shows in mind that we think you'll like. So in any event, enough babbling for me. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Hopefully you get a good bracket. Next weekend, new episode of the PTB Weekend Special. Dr. G and I will probably have already burned our brackets because some number one will probably lose. Who knows? But we'll talk about the next episode of NWA Power, the next episode of TNA Impact as they get ready for, as they head to the road to Rebellion. And, and more fun and games. Dr. G and I will talk jerseys, cities, concerts, anything else.
Whatever we
have a great week, everybody. Have a great week, everybody. And if you are listening to this, it is St. Patrick's Day. Be safe. Don't be stupid. We talked about Uber. They exist. Use them. Or Lyft. Okay? Have fun. If you're going to do shots of Jameson or you're going to do Irish car bombs, do them and then call Uber. I'm Scott. He's the doctor. You're not.
Ciao.